is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma, sponsored by Clifton Larson Allen CPAs. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH and KKOH.com.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, the Business Savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studio. Hey, you Garden Show listeners, you want to hang tight. Just because you got the veggies doesn't mean anybody knows where to get them, how to market them, how to make those veggies, how to make the cabbage into the cabbage you can put in your wallet and spend. It's the marketing show this week on Bosma on Business. My chief cohort in crime today, Katrina Loftin-Winkle from M&A Business Advisors.
You sound tired.
I am. I'm a little...
Are you staying up late doing tax returns?
Tis the tax season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and actually I'd say for the benefit of our listeners, if you probably really want to stay tuned, if for no other reason, on all the things you need to be aware of on the tax part of the equation. Seems like almost impossible to get a tax return out the door because of all the planning that we have to do for 18. So I think, well, gosh, Bosma, why do you care about doing 17 tax filings? What do you care about 18? Well, guess what? All the stuff that happens in 17 is usually impacting 18 as well. And so we're just trying to make all the magic happen. We call it tax magic for the benefit of our clients, just trying to help them. So, but I'm tired.
Good. Yeah.
Tired.
I can tell.
Tired. In studio, Chief Marketing Officer Ira Gostin. Gostin. Easy for me to say. Ira Gostin, 120 West Strategic Communication. Ira, welcome to Bosma on Business.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you. I am going to resist the urge to change the name of your business from 120 West to a Buck 20. So
it will defeat the purpose.
Right. So the way we start our show is you tell us a little bit about your business. So if I ran into you in that brief elevator ride going up to the third floor of the Bosma Business Center, talk quick. What would you say? What's your business?
What we do is business growth fueled by strategy, marketing, and communications. And we help businesses grow.
You help businesses grow. Kind of like fertilizer.
Kind of like fertilizer. Okay. Some people would agree with that analogy of me.
And how'd you get into the business?
I have been in communications, starting in media for over 25 years. The agency's 2 years old. Just started it after I left a corporate job where I oversaw investor relations and corporate communications for a publicly traded company.
Gotcha. So 2 years into your entrepreneurial journey, how's it going?
It's going really well. This is my fourth startup, I believe. So this one, so far, so good. Getting a paycheck, and we're helping some really great clients. So we're having a lot of fun, and it's moving forward. So that's the big thing, and we're getting to work with some really cool companies.
Cool. Like, can you say who you're working with, or is that
a few
thing?
Of them? We've got it's a very interesting mix. We've got mining clients, so we work with Ripatch Gold. Publicly traded company. They're based here in Vancouver. We also work with Tahoe Resources, which was my former employer.
Okay.
And we work with Butcher Boy Market. They're in town here. We've got a couple tech startups that we're just starting to work with. Motivesting, another company.
Okay.
And really cool mix. We're never bored. It's always interesting.
Now, are you still doing the investor relations for the couple of publicly traded companies you're doing, or just overall PR?
Yeah, so the... for Tahoe Resources, we do some design work. We do some support work. For Ripatch Gold, we do their investor relations. And I just got back from the big PDAC conference in Toronto. Thousands and thousands of people in the mining world. And so it's all of our communications work. We PR is really a tactic to us. So we do more stakeholder engagement, and that's how we approach the whole marketing mix.
Okay. And what's your client acquisition strategy?
You know, it's different. It's each segment is different. So in the industrial world, just a lot of reach out. You know, I do some public speaking. I do some workshops. Try and get engage clients and conversations. So like you, I'm a coffee drinker, and if I can always get somebody to sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about their business and where do they want to go with it, that's the key.
Okay, I gotcha. And how do you get paid for what you do?
Hopefully by wire transfer, it just miraculously shows up.
Just
so everything we do is campaign-based. We, for certain clients, we'll work on projects, but really what we try to do is create a campaign to have financial goals. So when we do a public relations campaign or a communications or an IR campaign, it's not about how much media we got or did we appear on this show or did we get in this. It's, are we helping move the needle? And by moving the needle, it's whatever growth the client sets as their goal. As are they looking for, you know, top line growth, bottom line growth? Where do they want to see their revenue grow?
Okay. Gotcha. So, Katrina, how are these PR marketing companies bought and sold?
That's an interesting question.
I try and ask interesting questions.
You do. Yeah, these are, it really depends. If it's all Ira, you know, then they're tough to sell. If Ira has a good staff behind him, then they sell like every other business sells.
Okay. So how many staff you got, Ira? Evidently, it's a thing.
There's with staff of three, plus a couple contractors that have some bandwidth that we pull from regularly.
Okay.
So we have a team that's pretty flexible. And the goal of that team is so we're not buried in overhead, and but we have the, when a client has the need, we have the people to go fill it.
Gotcha. So overhead, that means staff who aren't working.
Staff who aren't working.
And payroll that's not generating billable hours or campaigns that you're getting paid for. So so of the staff of three, how many are related by blood or by marriage?
None.
None.
I'm related
that's
to
good.
Me.
Okay.
So my wife is, I didn't count her. She is an integral part of the business.
Your wife doesn't count, Ira.
I didn't say that. Did I actually say that out loud?
Well, yeah.
I didn't count her in the employee count. She does, of course, count. Man, you're going to get me in so much trouble. She's going to listen.
Don't let her listen.
So I'll be like, oh, no, honey, don't.
She counts. I'm just giving you.
No, she's super important. And she's also a nurse at St. Mary's, so she has a full-time job.
Okay.
And but yeah, we have a team. So, and they're not related.
Okay. The not related team.
That's good.
Okay, because how does that impact how much Ira can sell his business for?
It just impacts things because many times husband and wife teams they take one salary or they take a smaller salary. And then when you're going to sell it, we have to make an adjustment for one person. So we have to replace one person. So it hits the cash flow number.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to replace people like that.
It's hard
Jill
to replace
would be
spouse.
Very hard to replace.
Jill would be impossible to replace. And who would want to?
Priceless. She is priceless.
In fact, the amazing and talented Jill Bosma, nominated for one of the 20 most influential people in the great state.
I saw that. I voted for her.
So did I. So you should too. Go to my Facebook page.
Yes, you can vote every day.
Vote every day for Jill Bosma for most influential, and because she is amazing.
She is. So I agree.
So that's how I talk about my wife on the radio, Ira.
Yeah, no, my wife saves lives at the hospital, so
that's pretty
she's
awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
my wife saves lives at home.
At home.
It's more awesome. Namely mine, but pretty much every day.
Yeah, right, and you need that.
And I do. It's called a support crew. So what was the genesis for starting up 120 West Marketing PR Firm?
The idea was from I really like working in mining. Having traveled,
you like working in mining.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but now most people that would say I like working in mining, they come to work in overalls and and steel-toed boots and hard hats.
I do have. I don't have overalls, but I have steel-toed boots, and I get to go out to the mine tomorrow. So, but you know, there's a whole support network in the mining space from the administration, and so I really like the investor relations space in mining. And I didn't really want to move to Vancouver or Toronto after I left my job. So it was like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And the more and more I started thinking about it was I really felt like we had an interesting way of looking at communications for business and telling stories for companies. And at that point, it was put together a business plan, built the financial model, and said, yeah, we're going to go do this.
Okay. And how connected are the energy you expend or the hours versus how you charge? I mean, so you said you'd based on campaigns, you track your time internally, sell by the hours, or is it just like a retainer model, monthly pay me? ACH, I think I heard you say.
We don't use the word retainer. So it's... you know, try to create a campaign fee that is based on, you know, my hours, the staff hours, what our hard costs are, whatever we're going to do that the client needs to fulfill their goals, and then create a fee structure that goes around that. So trying to get out of the trade time, you know, hours for money.
Let me know how that works. Katrina's got the best business model ever.
Oh, I
right?
do. I work for free all
you
the time.
You work for free, and then all of a sudden somebody will sell, and then she gets a big check.
And then there's
That's
a check.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, but I do a lot of stuff for free before we get there. So,
right. Well, versus what I do is I do a lot of stuff for free, and then I don't get the check at the end. It's a broken business model.
I get that, too. I mean, sometimes, right. You know.
Well, and your business is pretty similar to public relations that sense of you do work, you send a bill, and that, you know, there's a way. But, I mean, you've also over the years grown that into – people don't come to you for just a tax return. You want to work with them all year long,
right,
so that you can help the health of the business grow so that eventually they can get to Katrina and get her a bigger check, right?
That's okay. My goal great is commercial to, there. That was good. Did you plan
good
that?
Talking
that
was good. It's a good talking point. No, I was going to say, yeah, because we basically the business model, right? And, you know, professional services is awesome, but you know, you have your time to sell. You know,
yeah.
A friend of mine, Jamie Kalicki, says we got 8 apples a day. That's what we get, or right now, 16 apples
16.
A day.
Yeah.
And just, you know, we get to sell those, and you know, we try to use those wisely. Now, in your business, Ira, how is technology impacting your business? Is that making it a little bit less payroll intensive to kind of get the word out?
No, it's probably increased. You know, I think from a traditional model of a PR firm in the 80s, you took that big giant expense account from all of the whining and dining and schmoozing and boozing and put it into technology now. So we spend money on technology things and social media. And social media is still a huge part of this business, or is a huge part. But it's what we do with it, and it's not the whole purpose.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Ira, when we come back on this next segment, you know, let's kind of talk about, you know, kind of how technology is impacting professional services. So when Ira comes back, we call that the Ira rollover on the next segment of Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, with Ira Gostin from 120 West, otherwise known as Buck 20. communications, PR, marketing firm. Of course, the amazing and talented Katrina Loftin-Winkle from M&A Business Advisors, otherwise known as MABA.
You can call it that. I'm just going to,
fine. Just embrace it.
So, yeah,
anyway, so we're on the second segment of Bosma on Business. We call it the Ira Rollover. And as we're talking about technology and kind of how that impacts various different businesses, and a lot of times, especially with artificial intelligence, it's starting to bleed into pretty much every sector. You know, so for example, Ira, in the first segment, we were talking about you know, public accounting, doing taxes and consulting for people. You know, now I've got the ability in my tax software. So let's just say for fun that, you know, I think we have, out of our office, we're doing 17, almost 1800 tax returns now. I can go into that database and pull, so like for 2018, we're talking about planning, I can pull everybody that has a business, either 1065, 1120, 1120S, or a Schedule C on their tax return, and I can sort those by revenue. And then that gives me a good analytic, because I know if all of a sudden I can do the same query and say, okay, who's an accrual basis taxpayer with revenue less than $25 million? And I know that, ta-da!
You can save them money.
Yeah. Because now with tax reform, they get to be able to be a cash basis method of accounting. And usually that means they're going to get a pass on taxes for 2018. So that way I know I can throw everything at the kitchen sink at 17, then we give them a two-year hall pass. So there
you awesome.
Go.
That's Yay. So exciting. Yeah.
It's just like, hey.
We have to convince the banks that they have to look at both sets of books.
But actually,
and I don't want to say both sets of books.
You're supposed to have two sets of books. That's what people don't understand. It's like, so Ira, let me just venture a guess. So are you LLC or S Corp?
We're an LLC filing as an S Corp.
LLC filing as an S Corp. Very common. And, you know, when you're looking for, like, oftentimes you're doing a big campaign, you're going to get usually, hopefully, ahead on well, we can't say retainer, you said on the first segment. So we're getting ahead on payments on those big campaigns. But sometimes maybe you get a little long on payroll and when you wrap it up, you get the second part or the remaining billing on that. And you might need a line of credit. So for your business. And so kind of if you've got three people, you know, you probably revenue somewhere between $600 to $1 million.
A little below that, but close. Yeah.
Okay. So that's where you're like, okay, you know, how much line of credit could you get? Well, the reality is if you did your accounting on an accrual basis, it's going to give a truer, clearer picture of your real financial situation. And so you book your receivables and, of course, you accrue your payables and all those things. And the beauty of technology now is you can do all that in QuickBooks, actually, as you enter all that data. Easy, skeezy, lemon squeezy. Then, when you get to tax time, you know, we do this accrual to cash adjustment and show on the balance sheet the accrual basis financial statement with all those receivables that you haven't been paid yet. But you don't have to pay taxes on them, just through your methodology. And that's usually what Katrina affectionately referred to as two sets of books, right? So you have your generally accepted accounting principle set of book, which is awesome. And then you have your tax set, which is, you know, tax is a legal fiction. You know, people got to get their mind around that. So why would you ever report if you're going to sell your business? Why would you ever do that on tax basis financials? Of course you wouldn't.
Right. Well, and the problem is that, you know, good savvy buyers like private equity groups come in and they want GAAP accounting and the bank wants the tax returns and they want to lend on the tax returns. And that's a problem.
But actually, and that's where if you have especially CPA issued financial statements, even just a compilation, they're not expensive.
No, they're not. And it's worth every penny.
And it's worth every penny because
every
then you're
penny.
Like, no, we've had somebody else. We vetted this and, you know, a compilation review or audited financial statement. So that's where it's like the technology, you know, we're doing work for kind of the same price we did 10 years ago, which just means we can do a lot more work, a lot more
volume. You're more efficient.
Because efficient, right.
Yeah.
But this conversation is a piece of, you know, if you are a small business and you are still using some software to do your taxes, this is why you shouldn't do that. You should hire an accountant, call Mike, you know. There's people to do this. So this is what they do. And, you know, I think that especially in that small, medium enterprise business space, we tend to forget that. And it's so important to hire professionals. You know, people can do their own PR, their own media, but they're not going to be as effective as this is what we do every day.
Well, I think when people say PR, Ira, people really think about, well, you know, Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and
is that a thing anymore? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. Well, we're all in the room of the post Snapchat. Yeah. You know, we're past that. It's amazing that, like, Facebook is, you know, it was started for college students, and college students are the smallest demographic on Facebook.
Wow.
And it's but if your client wants to reach, you know, 42 to 57-year-old females, Facebook is a place to go.
Yeah, my stepson said it was for old people, like me and his dad. Nice, huh?
Awesome. So what's your stepson on?
He's on Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah, he's 30, by the way, so, you know. No spring chicken.
Yeah, anyway.
And there's some 15-year-old kids that think he's an old guy. So.
Yeah, right, I know, on Instagram, right?
Yeah, and the 15-year-olds are on Snapchat.
Yeah.
So, which I'm vehemently opposed to. So, anyway, no, I confiscated my... one of my daughter's phones, who shall remain anonymous.
Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah.
And the best part about Snapchat, right, is the best part, which I love, is when you can send somebody a picture, then it automatically disappears. Right?
Okay,
yeah.
There's nothing on the internet that automatically disappears.
So, what I did is sent a picture of my foot.
Oh, so that's on the internet forever. How fabulous.
Right. It's my foot. It's just my foot. And so I just was hoping somebody would come back and like, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, I know where I'm going to put this if you text my daughter again.
Oh.
Because kids have, I mean, and I think it's true in our society. And Ira is a PR professional, right? I mean, we've kind of lost the ability to have any kind of dialogue,
yeah.
Right? Face to face, human to human. Have
I
any
feel
kind
like
of real
it's getting back, though. I mean, I don't. I was visiting a friend the other day, and she said, "You're on your phone all day long. You're on your phone." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Yeah, most of my clients actually prefer to talk. I prefer to talk to them." It, you know, emails, stuff gets lost in translation. So
it's still about relationships,
yeah.
And you know, I've had conversations about. Especially with, you know, university students and public relations. And, oh, the press release is dead. And, well, you know, taking the press release to the fax machine and faxing it to 100 people, that part's dead. But you still need a tool to have the conversation with. So what it is it's just a tool that holds all of the, you know, the info.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got the who, what, where, when, why, and how info on the document, but it's still about the relationship. It's calling up that producer or that editor and pitching them your story, and those are personal relationships, and that's what strategic communications is about.
Yeah, because I guess on that, though, I mean, with, you know, the fake news, right, and just the ability, you know, like the good part of PR, being able to kind of have a hook, right, so that will pull people in, it'll catch their eye. The bad part about PR is it's the hook, you know, it's just you're trying to, where's the substance in what's really going on, you know? And so what I'd like to do is kind of, when we come back, talk about how people are actually getting knowledge, how they're getting information, and then how they're disseminating it, and kind of, you know, in more free form, clear way that can be easily digested. It's Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. If you need one of those free 3-minute consultations, give us a call, 786-4900. You know, they all started at
next
60
week,
minutes.
I know, next week's going to be 30 seconds. Don't call me at all.
it's just true. You know, we just got through the, you know, March 15th filing deadline. So, of course, you know, They switched the old switcheroo on filing deadline. So this last Thursday was the filing deadline for partnerships and S corporations. Then on April 17th, filing deadline for individuals, trusts, and C corporations. C corporations used to be due on March 15th. Now it's April. So it is just and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, partnerships used to be due on April, now they're due on March. And so what we're trying to do is trying to get the stuff that flows through to individuals to people sooner so they could do their taxes. Of course, what it's really done is, you know, as we're talking about communications, created, you know, either a burden or a strain on CPAs' communication strategies, right? It's like, you know, CPAs were not the most famous for being good communicators. You know, lock us in our closet, let us crank on tax returns. But so now we're like having to let, you know, like get the word out, hey, don't freak out, your return's not due yet. You know, it's due in another month if you're a C corporation, or trying to accelerate people like, hey, your return's now due a month earlier. And there's just people that don't like to extend. So that's kind of was jumping through those hoops last week. And of course, now we're on 4 weeks to April 17th.
I'm working on mine. I promise you will have them soon.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. So, but, you know, that's where, you know, as we're talking to Ira Gostin, 120 West Strategic Communications, you know, I would imagine in any services firm, you know, when you kind of got the big campaigns going, you know, how do you allocate resources versus what do you do when the phones aren't ringing?
It's, you know, for clients, there's a kind of a methodology that we use to start. Identify their story. So whatever their story is, that's what we're going to talk about. And then, you know, we look at three things. So what's the message? What's the story? What are we trying to say? Who are we talking to? And what is that audience? And then the last piece is, what do we want them to do? So, you know, think about that television commercial that you saw, that you laughed, you smiled, you thought it was really cool. And 3 minutes later, you were trying to tell somebody about it and you had no idea what it was for. Or you saw something in the newspaper, but it was so clever, but it didn't stick. The story wasn't there. So, you know, what we're trying to do is push that out and then use kind of all the tools that we have to help keep that going.
Okay.
And it's just a kind of a fascinating thing. And, you know, you were talking about the technology and then where does the technology fit and how do we, and that's kind of why we like the campaign basis. So a campaign has a goal and it has a path and it has a scope and we can bill accordingly for that. Piecemeal.
Right. I was going to say, more importantly, you have a budget for it, right? I mean, that's where a lot of times people with professional services, they don't necessarily have a budget for things. And then, so, you know, if you're billing by the hour, you send somebody a bill and they're surprised and unhappy, then it's like, okay, now what, right? So, like I said, those are things that when, you know, when we look at how, you know, how we serve our clients, kind of the resources it takes, you know, I remember, so, you know, it snowed a couple of weeks ago. I just got the bill for that, the snow removal, you know. And it was funny. It was like 500 some odd bucks. And I'm just like, oh, you know. And I remember thinking, it was like, gosh, it just, you know, all we had was like a little driveway, that, you know. I think everything always takes longer than the consumer thinks it should.
Right. Yeah.
So, I say it takes twice as long and cost twice as much as you think, and that's being generous. So that's where as you're kind of bidding your services, Ira, how do you price it all, knowing that, you know, people, you know, they want to, you know, buy low and you want to sell high.
So we talk about, and that's one of the reasons that we like the campaign structure, is so that the fee is the same every month. We give them a heads up. We don't do the traditional marketing ad agency markup. So, you know, if we've got vendors, like let's say video or some production things, they're billing direct to the client. So we're not marking things up. I don't need to be the bank. I don't want the bank doing marketing, and then I don't need to mark up fees. So.
Right.
So we like that, where the client can kind of expect the same fee structure every month. Where the burden of responsibility is then is on me, is to take the goals, to create the strategy, and then price out our time, you know, internally. And I have a, you know, I have an Excel document that's just got all of our hard costs, hours. You know, if I'm editing copy that day, my fee is one thing. If I'm working on the strategy side, my fee is going to be a little bit higher because it's more the umbrella of my expertise. But, you know, we're still a small business. So if I've got to edit copy, then I'm going to edit copy.
Right.
And we fill that out. We look at it. We build that campaign and make the numbers work to the client and correlate it to their growth goals.
Right. Okay. So, you know, but that's where, so how do you price your work? Let me ask it a different way.
We try and come in with a number that works for the client. So, you know, I mean, and that's
free.
A lot of the conversations.
Free.
Yeah, free is usually, they want to get the rent, people want to get their money every month. So,
right.
But if we look, you know, so a traditional marketing number is, you know, you should have a marketing budget of 3-5% of your gross revenue.
Right.
That's usually a pretty high number. So, we've got clients that it's 1 to 1.5%. We look at that, but at some point the client has to set a goal and say, this is where we want to get. You know, if they're, we want to go from $3 million in revenue to $7 million in the next 18 months, and we only want to spend $100 a month, you know, hey, enjoy the cup of coffee. Oh, good luck. So, you know, saying no and good luck is not a bad thing in small business. So, you know, it's okay to say that. And I've had to say it a few times. It's like, yeah, we can't do that. So it's just finding balance.
Okay. And what kind of rate per hour are you guys trying to fetch?
You know, my hourly is between $150 and $250 an hour, depending on what the work is.
Whether you're doing the grunt work or not.
Yeah, right? You know, and, yeah. And you know, I still have to wash coffee mugs once a week. So it's you know, it's nice to have a staff, but I pitch in equally, so.
Right. No, I got you. So, and that's where a lot, and the reason I ask is I think it's good for people to try and get a handle on kind of, again, what things cost. And probably the hardest thing about particularly small consulting company, professional services firm, is, you know, it's called the eat what you kill approach. So it's kind of like, you know, the longer the sales cycle takes, the more you have to kind of charge your clients for the work that you actually get engaged to do. You know, and you don't win every engagement. So you know, and that's where I was trying to, you know, tell people, is like, I've got people, they'd love to pick my brain for free. And it's like, you know, I give everybody an hour. I do. I'll give you an hour.
Right,
I'm not
going
to charge you for it.
You're down to 3 minutes.
I say kind of tongue in cheek because it's right. Busy season, but yeah, you know, it's kind of like, no, I'll give you an hour. I won't charge you for it. If we move forward, I mean, I don't need to recover the hour, but I can't really discount everything
right
as much either because, you know, you already got the free hour.
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah.
And so, it's not, there's nothing wrong with having that conversation. People are afraid to talk about money. And
why is it? Like I said, I was talking earlier. It's like people, they just don't know how to, have a healthy conversation. Like, hey, this is what's going on. Let's talk about it. We can talk about anything.
But Ira's approach is actually, you know, it's kind of genius because he's looking at the bottom line. And most PR companies are never going to ask to see your P&L, you know, and how is it, you know, is it hitting the bottom line? Do we have measurable? I'm sure most of them use measurable results. But, you know, that's an interesting way to look at it because usually a different skill set, right? PR and accountants. Not
completely
the same.
Different.
And, you know, I'm certainly no accountant, but that MBA comes in handy once in a while. So,
Well, and I think that's where also, just for the benefit of our listeners, you know, it's important to know every facet, every aspect of your business. And it doesn't mean you have to be the expert, but a lot of times I call it just financial literacy. You know, so you sit down with a business owner, like, let me help you understand how to read your financial statements so you kind of know, rather than just looking at the bottom line.
Most people do not know, and it's frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're like, no, here, this is how you read a financial statement, what it all means. And, yeah, and
so important.
Right.
Yes.
I help clients set KPIs, you know, where, like, let's not go crazy. Let's just come up with 3 indicators that we can look at every quarter, show you where to find them on the financials.
Now, Ira, what you just did was normally a CPA move, right? You threw out a TLA.
Three-letter acronym,
right?
Yes.
So KPI, Key Performance Indicator.
I was racking my brain. I knew I knew it.
they're not bad things. It's bad when you come up with 30 of them. It's like just a few.
Just a handful, right? It's like professional services. What are your KPIs? I guess good question.
So our KPIs is gross revenue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, profits and labor ratio, labor, what is the rate? I can't think of what it's called. Labor to gross ratio.
Oh, right.
So,
right.
You know, I've just got a spreadsheet where I plug some stuff in, but, you know, I keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. And I try to, I'm a big E-Myth Revisited fan.
Okay.
So I try every week to put on the CEO hat because I'm just like any other small business owner. It's real easy to just get sucked into the weeds of doing the work and not running the business.
Right.
And so, you know, I really try to make an effort that I spend an hour or two a week just kind of looking at the health of the business by going through the books and whatever else I'm working on. But
right. And that's where my experience, Ira, is most small businesses, they don't have those key performance indicators, and as a result, they're really not managing their business. They're working in their business, as you know, E-Myth would say, not working on the business. So let's do this. When we come back, let's talk about kind of the number one thing you need to do when you're working on your business. It's Bosma on Business, Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Give me a call, 786-4900, if you need kind of that second opinion on your tax return. Of course, a couple things coming up. The off-the-clock business mix for Wednesday, March 28th. So give us a call, 398-4800, RSVP for that. Or go to my Facebook page. All this stuff is there, and Eventbrite connections. And then, of course, we have a few offices left, so same number, 398-4800 to check out an office. Ira, where's your office?
We're on Keystone.
Oh.
And the,
oh.
Yeah, so when we get closer to a million in revenue, we'll talk.
Okay. So, you know.
It's very affordable.
We're in the downtown urban corridor. It's a really nice building. It's all been rebuilt and I shouldn't diss it, but it's small. We have our laptops. We go work wherever we need to work.
Okay, that's we should talk. I'm just saying.
We
all
should talk.
We leave our listeners with the number one thing. Kind of when we talk about working on your business versus in your business. What's the kind of the big picture? The big takeaway. Number one thing you got to do to work on your business, Katrina.
You know, right now, obviously, we're really focused on taxes, and especially with the tax changes, you have to have the right team. So the right CPA, the right set of books, or two sets of books, right, so that when you do get to an exit, we have the right tools to sell your business for the right price.
Mm-hmm. Ira.
I think you guys are going to come up with numbers things, and that's going to be, I'll leave that with you, really important. But if you have a business, you need to be specific and concise about your story. What are you trying to do, and how are you communicating that?
Yeah, and I would kind of somewhat echo both, and I call them core values. You know, who are you and why do you exist? You know, your why. And know what your why is, and it's a good litmus test, you know, to, you know, is this what I got into this thing for, right? Your why, you know? And so that's the same thing as when, you know, when I joined Clifton Larson Allen, it was all about, hey, I'm going to have more resources to serve my clients, get more opportunity to my team. You know, so that's the why, you know, it's just, okay, is this consistent? And so that's where a lot of times those decisions made in the trenches, you know, might take you away from that. And some of those pricing decisions with your customers, some of the hiring decisions with your staff, like, is this why I got into this thing? Yes or no? So anyway, just know your why. I find that it helps guide kind of that beacon out ahead of you, helps guide you down the right path. Yes. But anywho, Ira, I appreciate you coming in, sharing your story, and coming in next week to look at some Class A office space.
It's a really fun building. We don't have anyone in PR there.
Have anybody in PR.
That's true.
Good fit.
It would be a good
fit. It is.
Fit.
We have all the professional services in our building, really. Literally, I got my tax return hand-delivered yesterday.
Hand-delivered. who had their CPA walk their tax return to them?
Exactly.
Only at the Bosma business. I'm just saying. Just have a commitment to the truth. Of course, next week, we've got more business owners, more business advisors, I got through March 15th, and now we're in the final countdown, the final throws to busy season. Of course, we'll start kind of every week talking about those big takeaways on the tax side and kind of those big wins we've made for our clients. Most recent one for this week as we sign off is I had a client bought an office, commercial office building. CPA wanted to depreciate a thing over 39 years, and I said, no, it's qualified restaurant property. So we moved what normally depreciate over 39 years to 15 years, did the study on the inside of it, wrote half of the building off, saved them awesome. $500,000. Like, ka-ching!
Nice.
Nice.
Holla!
Nice.
All right, next week, more of that. It's called Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KOH.